Listen, you can do what you want. You can feel how you want. You're a fan. You're someone who's passionate about this franchise. I respect that. I just want to make it known that I'm not in favor of kicking Kenny Pickett on the way out of here. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into hockey and or baseball, I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Look, I'm going to start with a confession here. There was a song that was put together, like a spoof or satire, whatever you'd want to call it, for the WDVE morning show, the most popular thing on old school radio in Pittsburgh. And it took about a day to get to me, as I've been consumed with other stuff. When I heard it, I mean, I laughed really hard, like fall off the chair laughing. I'll include the link wherever it is that you find this podcast so you can check it out yourself. But then afterward, okay, so I watched it again and laughed even harder the second time. I mean, it's really funny, all right? But then, okay, so the after the second one, I kind of felt a little sleazy about it, you know? It's not the kind of thing that we usually do in Pittsburgh. We don't kick people on the way out. Not all the time, anyway. In fact, not often. Look at some of the other recent exits, whether it's from the Steelers, Penguins, or Pirates, and you'll see a pattern of, hey, you know, wish that guy well, or we're sad he's gone. The Penguins just went through a really tough, emotional trade, Jake Guentzel. And all you saw was, hey, Jake, go get him, you know? So I don't think that's an us thing. I had a couple of conversations yesterday, the results of which are seen in my Friday Insider at DK Pittsburgh Sports today. And they were all about Kenny's exit and Kenny's choices, the conversation that he had with Mike Tomlin. I'm not going to read it out loud for you here. It's easy enough to find. You'll see what the information is there. But one of the themes of these two talks, in the most general sense, was this isn't some bad dude. This is someone who is extremely competitive and confident, arguably to a fault, which is why I'll continue to point to Kenny's biggest mistake as being having given that one answer to that young reporter who asked if he could learn anything at all from Mason Rudolph running the offense, and he comes back with, no. That's not healthy. That's not good. That has nothing to do with football. That has nothing to do with sports. That has everything to do with life. You always can learn. You always can improve. He blew it with that. But overall, for the most part, if you go back over his life and football career, you'll see that that trait served him well. That trait got him and the Pitt Panthers to an ACC championship, something a lot of people thought they'd never see. That trait got him to a starting job in the National Football League. So now he's gone. Now he's playing somewhere else. Now there's new guys in. Everybody's really eager to turn the page, and I appreciate that as well. But you don't have to kick him on the way out of town. And here I go again with that Seattle nonsense. Both of these people with whom I spoke swore up, down, and sideways that Pickett absolutely did not refuse to suit up as an emergency quarterback in Seattle. And one of those was in the room for the whole thing and has absolutely no motive whatsoever to lie in either direction. So what happened? How did it become a thing? Well, if you go back to a week ago, that was when I ran a piece in the previous Friday Insider, this is again in print, that detailed exactly what happened in Seattle, according to this person in the room. Exactly. Play by play. Stuff nobody else had, nobody else still has. But then later, that same day, around 3 o'clock, the Steelers trade Pickett. And within 20 minutes, there's a tweet up from somebody who's been covering this team for a very long time. And the third item in that tweet, not the first one, not the second, but the third item chronologically in that tweet says, oh, by the way, Kenny refused to dress in Seattle. Now, whether it was taking a shot at the reporting that I had that morning, because heaven help anybody should ever get beat on a story, happens to me all the time, because it happens to everybody all the time, or whether this reporter had been fed something by the team after the Kenny trade was done to try to turn people against Kenny on his way out. And by the way, I'm not the one that's bringing this up. This came up in one of the talks yesterday. I have no idea. I can't know that. All I know is what the effect is. All I know is that somebody, for some reason, wanted Kenny to get trashed on his way out. This thing didn't happen. A lot of other stuff happened. It's plausible that it would have happened, given his other behavior, but it didn't actually happen. And the result is he goes to Philadelphia. He's got the press conference. The Philly reporters ask him, hey, did you actually quit on your team that weekend in Seattle? And he has to answer that. And he's going to have that cloud hanging over him forever. Why? Because somebody, either the reporter or the team or who the hell knows what, decided to kick him on the way out, decided it was easier to say this, to claim to report it, after he was officially with another team, and therefore never having to be accountable to that athlete, and seeing them face to face, where the athlete has an opportunity to walk up to you after a practice and say, hey, by the way, what are you doing, man? Why would you say that I did that when everyone knows that I didn't, and you probably know that I didn't? Why did you do that? That reporter doesn't have to face that repercussion, because that reporter's doing nothing other than just casually burning a bridge. And that sucks. And a lot of people went along with it. A lot of people are still going along with it. A lot of people presume that it's the truth. And a lot of those people are doing so because they just want to be done with Kenny. They want to feel more comfortable about not liking him and pretending that they never did like him. So let's just kick him on the way out. Let's all of us just kick him on the way out. Who else can we do that with? Is there anybody else? Let's just make that a Pittsburgh thing where we kick people on the way out. When we come back, J1Q. Luxembourg, Garbett, Kelly & George, LGKG, is a personal injury law firm in Western Pennsylvania that represents people hurt in car accidents or who need help with workers' comp or medical malpractice. When the attorneys at LGKG make you a promise, they keep it. They've been keeping promises in our region for over 80 years. LGKG's been AV rated, the highest rating a law firm can receive, and they've been designated super lawyers. That's actually a thing for over 15 years. It's a rare combination. LGKG has offices in Cranberry, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, Butler, and Elwood City. Learn more about them by visiting lgkg.com or by calling 888-842-5454. LGKG. Today's J1Q throws everything back to my discussion yesterday about the NFL draft and what position might be a priority and center versus tackle and so forth. It comes from Bill, and he says, all things being equal, DK, yes, draft the best available player in round one, but all things are not equal. The Steelers have no center. They have some tackles. They have some wide receivers. Do they need more? Yeah, of course, but they have no center. I don't want to hear about what James Daniels or Nate Herbig can do if they're shifted. That just weakens the team at guard, and they're not that good as centers anyway. Or they would have been playing there over Mason Cole. If the Steelers don't draft a center at number 20, they'd better be ready to trade up in the second round to get a good one, because waiting over 30 is hoping. It's not a strategy. I think Omar Khan's smart enough to know that. You know, Bill, the discussion about centers in the draft in general, first of all, I don't agree with you at all. There's no such thing as saying that it's a good idea to take somebody at a certain position if you're convinced they're not the best player at that position. In that event, you always have the recourse of trading down, even if it's just a handful of picks. And you should take that because you'll get additional draft capital for it. So I don't agree with just sitting there at 20 and taking a center because, well, we need a center. That's a lousy way to conduct business in that process. The bigger question, I think, and I don't know that we're near an answer on this at all, is where will these centers go? Like, you can see Jackson Powers Johnson show up in the late teens at the very highest, early 20s most commonly. This is someone who really made an impact at Oregon and has done so ever since then in the various processes he's been engaged in. A lot of teams really like him, but he's not even a consensus overall first-round pick. That's not me ripping him. That's just looking at what the mocks are. So your next suspicion, from what I gather, is that Zach Frazier from West Virginia would be somewhere in that same realm, and I don't see that either. He'll occasionally poke his head into somebody's first round, but more often than not, he's somewhere in the middle of the second. And there are others. These are not the only two centers in the draft. My feeling at the moment is that unless the Steelers themselves, and remember, they're not working off mocks, they've got their own board. If they feel really strongly about Jackson Powers Johnson, him specifically, because he's the number one center, I think most people would agree with that in this class. If they feel, wow, this is a guy, this is someone who's absolutely a first rounder, we might have him as high as, who knows, 12, 15 on our overall board, independent of our needs. If that's the case, get him. But if it's not the case, hang on. You know, get somebody in the second round. I'm really, really leery of looking at drafts specifically by need, and I understand that my talking about center all the time probably flies in the face of that. But there are other positions, and there are other positions of use to the Steelers. Get the best player. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody putting up with my nonsense here on Daily Shot of Steelers, and we will have another one of these on Monday.